What's up, y'all? This is D'Angelo Russell, and y'all listening to the Drive the Lane podcast. And this is your owner once again, D'Angelo Russell.
Welcome back to Drive the Lane. The Buckeyes are undefeated since Jake Thiebler took over as head coach. We'll definitely get into that. We'll talk about the upcoming games this week at Minnesota, at Michigan State. There's still a chance that they can get a bid to the tournament without winning the Big Ten tournament. We will talk about that, of course. We'll talk a little NBA All-Star. Joey had boots on the ground for All-Star weekend, and I had boots on my couch and watched a lot of it. So it'll be interesting to see the differences and how we feel about the event and what he got to experience and what I got to wish I could have experienced. And it's all presented to you by our friends at the Butcher's Tap and McGee's, the best place to watch Ohio State football, and we like to say basketball as well. Great food, halftime raffles during football games. If you can, make your reservations for football games right now for next year because it fills up. Would have been a lot of fun to watch that Purdue game at a bar like the Butcher's Tap. I guess we should really start right there, Joey. How about that Purdue game? Yes, it was the end of the weekend, and All-Star weekend started on Friday, but this Ohio State show, we'll start with that win over Purdue.
Yeah. unbelievable, I think, is the first word that comes to mind. Unreal. Incredible. Is it, like, incredibly unexpected? Like, no, it was a home game in the Big Ten. Home teams win every game in the Big Ten. But obviously, considering the circumstances and the mediocre basketball that Ohio State has been playing, I mean, it was ridiculously awesome. If you just look at, like, X's and O's, you know, they had a clear game plan on Edie, and Zed Key was awesome guarding him. Bruce Thornton was great on offense. They were, you know, Zach Edie plays this drop coverage on ball screens, and Bruce Thornton was picking it apart. Jameson Battle came alive in the second half and played, you know, one of his best halves as a Buckeye. I mean, it was just an awesome game. Ohio State played better than Purdue. They deserved to win the game. It wasn't like they stole anything. If you were watching college basketball for the first time on Sunday, you looked at that game and went, oh, Ohio State is better than Purdue, and Jake Thiebler is a great coach, which, I mean, maybe both are true, but Jake has definitely proven his worth. 3-0 as a coach. I actually called one of the games where he was the head coach because Holtman was sick. But, man, I people on Twitter didn't quite understand what I was saying by this, but I said that, you know, coming together in adversity as a team, like a little bit of adversity can cause a group to come closer together. And adversity can be a million different things. You think about if, God forbid, one of your teammates' family members passed away, or a close friend, or a coach, or a coach's family member, God forbid, passed away, or a close friend, or whatever it is. Like, that adversity can bring a group together, and clearly, Ohio State came together in, you know, after the news of Coach Holt being fired. You can look at it a bunch of different ways. I think all things can be true. I think Coach Thiebler coached an incredible game. The staff did an awesome job. I just called him Coach Thiebler. I haven't called him Coach Thiebler in my life. Jake Thiebler coached an incredible game. He was awesome. The staff was amazing. I can only imagine how much of a team effort it was, because they all had to get out of their comfort zone and do something different than they normally do in week to week during the season. But at the same time, it could also be true that everybody in that locker room was playing that game to win, not in spite of Coach Holtman, but because of Coach Holtman. They wanted to win for Coach Holtman. You know that Holt is watching that game wanting his players to have success. Like, he might feel a certain way about Ohio State or Gene Smith or whatever, right? Like, who cares? But you know, because you know him, like I know him, that he wants Bruce Thornton, Roddy Gale, Jameson Battle, the list goes on and on, to beat Purdue at home and for the students to storm the court. So it was awesome. I mean, I'm so happy for the players, so happy for Jake. I, you know, like Andrew said, I was in Indy for the All-Star game, Butler, if you don't know, is in Indianapolis. So I got to see them practice. I got to see them play, got to talk to Coach Mata, I got to talk to John Thiebler, Jake's brother, and his mom, Mrs. Thiebler, who was also there. And we were just chopping it up about how crazy this is and how fun it is. And, you know, the circumstances are not what you'd want, but wow, he's getting the opportunity of a lifetime. And it's nerve wracking, right? I mean, you got nothing to lose, but also you have everything to gain at the same time. And man, was it just awesome to see his emotions after the game. The dude cares so much about his guys. Just so fun. Just an awesome, awesome guy. He was the video coordinator when I was at Ohio State my freshman year before with the old staff, before he ended up being an assistant coach at Vanderbilt. But man, I have plenty of Jake Diebler stories, and we'll save those for when he ultimately comes on the podcast, hopefully at some point. But just so awesome for Jake. So great for a guy like Zed Key, who's had his struggles all year and, you know, played incredible defense, made baskets when he had to make baskets. He just, the heart and soul of the team has always been Zed Key, but it's not fun to say you're the heart and soul of a team that has won 3 games in the conference. But in a game like that, he showed why he's the heart and soul of the team. And I mean, the overarching theme is it was just so deserved. They played well enough to win the game. It was deserved that way. But the players deserved it. The staff deserved it. The fans deserved it. I mean, Ohio State fans, say whatever you want about Coach Holtmann, we can all agree as Ohio State fans that Ohio State fans deserve better than the last season and a half, or 2 seasons, I guess you could say. And they got it on Sunday. So the only thing is that was the first court storming in the last 8 years that I wasn't there. So a little bit of FOMO from that. But other than that, wow. I mean, just it was great because it was the first time that I sat down truthfully and watched the entire game from start to finish without moving in a long time. Plenty of times where I missed some because I had men's league game, or I missed it because I just didn't want to watch, or I started the game and they were losing by a bunch, or games that I had to, you know, watch the first half and then record and watch the second half. But holy cow, so fun, so well-deserved, so happy for Jake, so happy for the players. I mean, I could say that over and over again, but it's just, thank God. I mean, just needed it so bad.
I thought it was very funny. I know they weren't doing this, but every time in the last like minute when they called timeouts or there was a foul, they panned to the coaches and they all were huddled up. And it looked
right,
like,
exactly,
it looked like they were like, oh my God, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. We're going to be. And
be
I
calm.
Know.
Remain calm. Stay calm. Right.
And I know in reality they were discussing, but it looked very, very funny. Like they were like, oh my God, I can't believe it.
Well, it was like clearly Jake has the final say, but you know, if you're not a head coach, there's stuff that, you know, you can go with your gut, whatever, but you don't know. Like you just don't, it's like, you know, they're probably huddling up like, sure, they all know what plays they could run and what defenses they could run and if they should use a timeout and all this stuff. But it's like, I'm sure Jake had to be reassured a couple of times game plan wise and different maneuvers. And it was really cool because it was clearly a team effort. And just to give you a little peek behind the curtain, when Jake coached the last game as the acting head coach versus now he's the interim head coach because Coach Holtmann was sick, I talked to Holt about how, you know, basically without saying it, it's really hard when you're down the head, when you are, your roles are changing as the coaches. They're so used to what they're doing that the praise they deserve for what they do and, you know, stepping in and beating, you know, New Orleans or whoever it was in that game is great. That's important. It's hard. Like they deserve praise, but what they did against Purdue is, it truly is remarkable. Like they instantly are putting so much more on their own plate. They're uncomfortable and they clearly performed at such a high level as a staff. It was awesome.
It was exciting. We obviously after the game were posting on Twitter, they're going to make a run to the tournament. People are responding, 5 more wins and you're in the dance. I mean, how many games are left? 5?
Yes. And then obviously, hopefully a few tournament games.
So if this was next year, they wouldn't be in the Big Ten tournament as of right now, correct?
Well, it depends on how the other teams are doing
right now. Not counting like the records of the teams. Like right now, they're a bottom.
USC is terrible. I'm just saying.
Right.
UCLA is terrible.
But they're playing Pac-12 teams. I'm talking about if it was the same model right now where the bottom teams weren't in. Obviously, if they win out before the Big Ten tournament and then they win a game or two in the Big Ten tournament, then they would make the tournament. But I want to talk about something a little more realistic.
Please.
Which is, because that's one game. Any coach could win a game.
Yeah.
You know, you're at home. You got the fans, even though there were a lot of Purdue fans there. Edie didn't have a great game. Zed Keep played great. Realistically, what would Ohio State have to do for the athletic department to actually give Diebler a shot and actually, and maybe regardless, he's going to get to quote unquote interview for the job. But what do you think would have to happen for him to be a serious candidate? And then that also is, do you think that could happen is the second part of the question.
Yeah. And I knew we were going to talk about this and it's still just hard to like articulate. In the grand scheme of things, do I think he has a shot? Yes, absolutely. Especially when your first game was how, you know, it's only downhill from here in theory, right? You beat the number two team in the country. But yes, I think he has a shot because he is a phenomenal recruiter. He's young. He's hungry. He knows Ohio State as well as anybody. He knows Ohio basketball in general. He's all-time leading assists and steals in the state. As in high school, he comes from coach's blood. His dad's one of the best coaches in Ohio high school history. He has an incredible relationship with the alumni. Like when Mike Connolly and Greg Oden and Evan Turner and all these guys would come back and still do come back, like Jake was working them out. So he's got an unbelievable relationship with them. Those are the reasons why I think he should get a shot. I do think he will get a shot because the number one thing is winning, and he proved that he can win games. I just don't give him a great shot just because it just doesn't seem like it makes sense. Like the stars aren't aligning for it, if that makes sense. And what I mean by that is I sit here on this show. I would love Jake Diebler to be the head coach of Ohio State basketball. If that is what the AD determines is the best decision, I am so unbelievably behind it. Regardless, I'm behind. I would love Jake to be the head coach. I think as far as a guy who has never been a head coach until right now when he's an interim head coach, like deserving is not the right word to use, but he deserves as much as anybody because of the dedication that he's shown to the program for years, and winning that game is such a big deal. But back to the stars aligning, new AD for a storied basketball program with one of the largest endowments for sports, with a huge NIL collective, with a football team that just spent $13 million on their roster. I find it hard to believe that the new AD's first coach that he has, his first hire, is going to be somebody without head coaching experience. And that's, I hate sitting here and saying that because, again, I love Jake and I would love him to be the head coach of Ohio State. I really, truly, truly am rooting for that to happen. I just don't think Ross Bjork is going to sit here and go, all right, let me roll the dice with a semi-unknown commodity. But I think if Jake not only wins more games than he loses for the rest of the way, because it's hard. At Minnesota is a hard game. At Michigan State is a hard game. Another game against Michigan, which no Doug McDaniel, I don't think. Who knows? They're a different team, obviously, but still your rival. At Rutgers is a really hard game. Like, those are just the games off the top of my head. I know we have another home game in there mixed in, but if he wins more games than he loses in this stretch and wins a game in the Big Ten tournament, maybe two, like, he drives a hard bargain to go against him.
If you give them any chance to make the tournament, if we're sitting here,
if Jake Diebler takes them to the tournament, he's the coach of Ohio State.
Well, if he takes them to the tournament, yes. But if we're sitting here in, you know, mid March,
in 2 weeks, if there's a conversation like, is Ohio State on the bubble?
They have to, right.
Yeah.
Are they on the bubble? Could they, you know, if they had a similar run to what they did last year in the Big Ten tournament and you're believing it and then there's a chance, then I could see it. But it's just going to be tough especially with the names that we've been hearing and or seeing as potential suitors. And we won't get into it too much, because the worst thing on sports media is when you make a prediction about a coach and you're just completely wrong, or you throw out 10 names and then you can be like, see, told you, we said back in our episode it was one of the 10. And obviously we'll do a larger deep dive when there is a new coach, which, by the way, I think is going to happen earlier than ever before this year. Whether it's released or not, it's going to be official. Well,
there's probably a handshake agreement, and that's why Holman got fired when he got fired.
Right.
There's probably agreement.
What I've been saying to you, and what I think is, Ohio State's great school, great program, great opportunity. You don't have as much pressure because of football, but the other way around could be you have a ton of pressure because the expectations of football. But there, the last few years, random jobs have become available, and whether it's Duke, Syracuse, Notre Dame, Villanova, and they've all, with the exception of Notre Dame, kind of gone to the someone already on staff. And you know, for the most part, none of those teams are like, hey, we didn't miss a beat. UNC, they didn't miss a beat. Duke is, it's a little different, obviously, when it's those schools. But, like, there could be some really, really good jobs open. You never know. And if you're still deciding about the coach that you have, then you could miss out on an opportunity to get one of those coaches, especially a guy like McDermott. I know we said we weren't going to name names, but he's feels like for the last 10 years not taking jobs. And he's probably got one more am I going to move jobs in him, you know? So you just can't be, you can't be late to the game with
how the team's been
the last few years.
I agree. It's, you know, it's still a hard thing to talk about, I guess, just because the mid-season firing just seems insane. But I because of the points you just made, I can wrap my head around it. But yeah, we're not going to dive into, everybody knows all the names that are being named, but just because you mentioned McDermott, I went to Butler versus Creighton. Creighton beat the living poop out of Butler. And, you know, Coach Mata told me the day before, like, they were in for a dogfight because Creighton is their beast. But that offense is so beautiful and so lovely. I would not hate rooting for that offense and watching that offense. I also have friends that played for McDermott who say incredibly great things about him. If there was ever a time for him to move up, in quotes, you know, it's, in theory, it's a better conference. It's a larger school. You know, it's not a basketball school like Creighton, but, you know, your all eyes are on you. His guys are, you know, Shireman and, you know, Kalkbrenner and Tyshawn Alexander, all those guys are done after this year, most likely. So, like, if there's ever a year, that's the guy that I keep coming back to, it seems like. So we'll see. We'll see. But, man, shout out to Jake Diebler. The dude deserves every shot in the world, without a doubt.
Yeah, I mean, at the very least, if he does enough to have them, you never know, could win a few games. If he does that.
It's a great way of saying it, too, honestly.
But if he does that,
if we're talking about Ohio State basketball, then Jake Diebler should be in the discussion.
Well, but then at the very least, he'll have a chance to get a head coaching job somewhere else. Like Ryan Peden, who's at Illinois State, they're upsetting ranked teams. And
no, I think Jake Diebler is looking at the next 3 weeks, whatever it might be, is not only is it a job interview for Ohio State and a tryout, so to speak, but just like when an NBA player signs a 10-day contract for the Cleveland Cavaliers, they're trying out for the entire NBA. And he's trying out for the entire NCAA basketball landscape, whether it's a, you know, I'm just throwing out names, not schools with coaches on the hot seat, but whether it's Wright State or Penn State, you know, like, he is absolutely forcing his hat in the ring for any job that's available. If he continues to coach well and win games.
And also, you know, you never know.
The new staff.
That's what I was going to say. That's
exactly
what I was going to say. The new staff could be like,
we need you to stay one more year to help with kind of this overlap. Keep the guys, the Bruce Thorntons, the Roddy Gales on the roster And then you've already proven we're going to pay you just as much as you would get paid at Elon, but we're going to, you know, we're going to pay you more than that. And then you help with the transition and you go on your merry way because there'll be even better jobs open for you, whatever it might be.
I was going to say the same exact thing, because if they stink, then he's like potentially done, you know, not that he couldn't get another chance. He's young. He has another opportunity.
He'll be a head coach for sure.
You think even if next year, no matter what?
Oh, no, not that's not what I meant. But he will be a head. If they lose out, it does not change the basketball world's view of Jake Dealer.
Well, he still needs to. He still needs to find a place where he can be a good assistant if they lose out, for sure.
Yeah, if he's in not his next stop. Coaching job, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he will be because he's a phenomenal recruiter, player development. And he just has a phenomenal reputation in college basketball.
My prediction would be is he's at Ohio State next year in some capacity.
That's a good way of phrasing it.
Because
yeah, I mean, like,
have you seen the stuff with the recruits on Twitter? Like that one recruit's dad was like, "That's a great win by Coach Jake."
That's Michi's dad.
Well, there you go.
The only example I can think of, it's a smaller scale, but when Holman got hired, he kept Ohio State guys on the staff because he needed, like, it helps with the transition and understanding the program and the university and all that stuff. Like, it's not that easy to go from school to school. So unless you're Jay Wright, who he's not going from school to school, he's going from announcer to school. So Jay Wright's not going to be the head coach of Ohio State basketball, everyone. So,
but do you think he's going to be back in coaching?
Never, ever.
I mean, you spent some time with Jalen Brunson over the weekend and now all of a sudden you're making a Jay Wright point. What do you know?
Why in the world would he come back to college coaching when it's just incredibly hard now? But it was a fun weekend. Not to change subjects here, but I got to spend some time with everybody's favorite NBA players all weekend. It was just wild. I'm so tired as we record this Monday night. I drove back from Indy this morning. I'm like starting to yawn just talking about how tired I am, but incredible time. Jalen kind of folded in the 3-point contest. He did fine in the actual All-Star game, which is just a disaster. But the weekend was cool. I mean, just like being in hotels where you just see Allen Iverson walking around and Charles Barkley and Wembanyama and Chet Holmgren. Like, you're just like, these dudes are like, I really had no shot at making it to the NBA because these guys are freaks of nature. But very fun weekend. Saturday night went to Tyrese Halliburton's party in downtown Indy. And it included every person that you could possibly think of, from Kai Cenat to Kevin Durant. I mean, it was just hilarious. What a great time. What a weird weekend in terms of the actual stuff that's going on. I love, just to go through the weekend, and we can kind of talk about this here, Andrew, but I love the Rising Stars Challenge, like the tournament sort of Elam ending style games are great. The draft they have, like, I think that's great. That should stay. But then the skills challenges, they had me for a little, they lost me for a bit, they had me at the end. The Steph versus Sabrina was awesome. Highlight of the whole weekend for me. The 3-point contest will always be great. I'm a big fan. I love shooting. So it's just amazing. And then the dunk contest is just like, maybe it's just because all the cool dunks have already been done. Maybe it's because no players want to do it, even though Jaylen Brown was an all-star and did it, but his dunks were so average and every dunk was the same. Mac McClung was awesome. The game itself was terrible. We had guys asleep next to us in the stands at the All-Star game, but I don't even know how you fix that. Maybe the winner gets home court advantage. I don't know. And I don't know how they fix that, but the dunk contest was hilarious because me and my good buddy Connor Cashaw were sitting next to each other. And from context clues, we figured out Mac McClung's family was right in front of us. I said, you know, you saw a couple of McClung jerseys and they just looked like family members. And right next to Connor was Jaylen Brown's parents. And Jaylen Brown was getting booed after every single dunk because they were very ordinary, number one. And number two, they're Pacers fans, so they don't like the Celtics anyway. And we were like, other guys that I was sitting next to were like, this sucks. Like, what is he doing? Blah, blah, blah. And then we'd like catch ourselves and be like, hold on, his mom is literally 5 feet to our right. But it was so funny. One guy stands up and turns around and is like, what the fuck is Jaylen Brown doing? He should have stayed home. He should be embarrassed. Every dunk's the same. And Connor's like, oh my God. And it was all facts. It was a weird, weird dunk contest. But Mac McClung dunking over Shaq was awesome.
You know what I think hurts the dunk contest the most is the scoring. The fact that like
so bad.
A bad dunk is a 42. You know, like
it was like a 46.
Right. That would help with the weirdness, because then there's like real discrepancies with the scores. This is how I feel about like the Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce thing. Whenever people are talking about something, it's entertaining. Like yeah. I did enjoy seeing what people had to say about the dunk contest. Like a bad dunk contest is good for Twitter. It's fun for Twitter. Sorry, X. It's fun to.
That's fair. I think that's
valid. It's fun point. To watch that kind of stuff. The 3-point contest, at first I thought the starry balls were dumb. And then by the end, I was like, oh, he's coming up on his starry ball. So I did like that.
Starry was, so this is funny. This is some good boots on the ground content. Starry was everywhere. They were handing out starries when we walked out of the 3-point contest. They were handing out starries when we walked out of the game. When I was walking in the hotel, there were, on Sunday, there were 12 packs of Starry sitting outside every room, which clearly like people, I think I saw on Twitter that media members that were there all got Starry when they checked in. And then they were like, well, I'm not going to take home this Starry on the plane with me. So I guess I just got to leave it here. So Starry was just everywhere. And the court was Starry. I mean, it was just unbelievable. The court was cool. I was really like, that might've been the highlight was the court.
Yeah, the court was cool for sure.
TBT should do that, Andrew. Is that in the budget?
Probably not. That was probably an inexpensive court. One last thing about All-Star Weekend is I think it's funny that some guys just like barely play. And not like LeBron, who like plays in the first half and is like, nah, I'm not playing the second half. I feel like Bam Adebayo played 1 second in the All-Star. Yeah. Like, do you think that's like the coaches trying to win or – like what, and how much coaching could you hear? Were you close enough? Is there like coaching?
I couldn't hear any coaching. I knew they draw. You could tell that after every timeout, they drew up a play at least. Cause the one time they drew up a play and Steph hit a three and pointed at the bench and everyone was like tapping one of the coaches on the head and stuff. But yeah, I don't know. It's like, every year it's the same thing you see on Twitter. People bet on LeBron to score 30 points and he plays 7 minutes and everyone's pissed, you know, but there's no rhyme or reason to why people play. They must be, some guys probably have nagging injuries. Some head coaches probably call Doc Rivers and say, hey Doc, like, don't play my guy, please. Or they're like, okay, young guys, we're going to play the old guys in the first half and the young guys in the second half, you know, whatever. Right. Like, it's the ultimate exhibition. There's no reason to play or not to play. So it's very interesting. That part of it is annoying for sure. I do think you have to, there's got to be some incentive for these guys to play, whether it's paying them or making it so there's some sort of prize at the end of the game. It's just so weird. It's just a Damian Lillard shoot around right now.
I think it's weird when you talk like, oh, they should be getting paid, but then they're also like, oh, doing it for charity. Like, there's too much different stuff going on. Like, how it would be cool.
And they are getting paid at All-Star Weekend. That's all I'll say is they are getting paid. Absolutely.
Well, what I'm alluding to is I get the not trying super hard, but it was way cooler when they were getting out of the way for dunks than when they were shooting half-court shots. You and I can make half-court pull-up threes. Not as consistently as Dame, but like Steph was like 1 for 20 from deep three. Like the dunks are way cooler.
Karl Anthony Towns was doing all of the dunks.
Yeah, so if you're gonna not try, I would rather them not try and
dunk everything.
And it's dunks and alley oops. Like I remember a few years ago, I don't think it was an Elam ending year, but a few years ago when Steph and Giannis were on the same team and they were throwing each other lobs, and then Giannis was throwing Steph lobs, like, and those guys obviously were 7 years younger or whatever. I do think it hurts also that a lot of the All-Stars right now are older.
Yeah, I agree with that. I also think that I like the East versus West again versus the draft. I think that's fun, and that's why they should do like a winner gets home court advantage. I agree though. I miss like, you know, Luka tried to dunk one and missed it. Like do stuff that we don't get to see you do. Yeah.
Even I actually think the home court advantage thing is kind of dumb. And
all right,
what's your idea then? Well, I don't have but the reason is like, why would like a team who's not going to make why would Scottie Barnes care about the East getting home court advantage?
Because what if they do make it? I don't know.
Well, they have 17 wins and they're not even going to make the play. Like there's not, that doesn't make it equal. No,
the
equal
baseball all-star game does it.
I don't think they do it anymore.
Well, they did.
Yeah. It's just, I personally don't think that is the answer, but I don't have a different answer.
I don't think there is an answer.
Yeah. I think as it gets younger, which is going to happen. I mean, last night you had Kawhi, Dame, Steph, LeBron, KD. Like you had a lot of older.
Everyone in the West is old. Paul George.
Yeah, and then you got Luka and Jokic, who are
the oldest guys ever.
Yeah. Yeah. So
and then on the East, you had, you know, the young guys were like Jalen, who's 27. He's not like he's 19. But they had a bunch of first-time All-Stars, but like Tyrese Maxey and Jalen aren't going to go in 360 windmill all over the place. So,
right, and not that dynamic. Not that Jalen and Maxey aren't, you know, awesome players, but they're not the star power names-wise as those other guys. Like imagine
Embiid should have been in it,
but imagine if the headline was like Maxey and Brunson combined for 50 an all-star game, like people wouldn't be as excited about that, but that would be way more exciting that in a close game than last night's.
Yes, if anybody can, Cat had 50 and they lost by 100. Like, I mean,
right, that was exciting. There's pockets in the games that are exciting,
yeah, sure. I agree.
Like Haliburton with the threes, Cat at the end.
Haliburton starting the game with the threes, we're like, okay, this might be really fun tonight, and then
yeah. It really was just the West sucking. If the West
they stunk.
If they didn't stink and the game was close, then
if the score
cares?
Was 211 to 208, like that would be fucking hilarious and fun. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know what the answer is. If I didn't have one of my very close friends playing, I probably would have felt a little differently about the game. But like we legitimately had a guy fall asleep next to us at the game. So something must be wrong.
They'll come up with something. The Elam ending worked for 2 years. It was exciting for 2 years. So they'll come up with something, and then people will get sick of it and they'll go back to something else. I don't know. They'll come up with it. Anything else before we get out of here?
I got nothing else. I'm just excited to see if Ohio State can keep it rolling, and we've got some content to talk about. So it's good stuff.
Buckle up. Drive the lane.
Go Buckeyes, beat the Gophers, beat the Spartans.